so good to be a Christian, isn't it?
What would you do, friends?
I ask myself that. I ask people that. What would you do if you weren't a Christian? Where would you go? What would you do? What would you do with your time? How would you keep yourself sane? It's impossible. There's just no way to be sane in this world anymore because there's just too many voices. There's too many influences, spirits that are just constantly influencing people, and this gets crazier and crazier. Just if you read a little bit above some of this stuff, I mean, you're just like, oh my goodness, we got to get out of here. We just got to get out of here, friends. It's just time. Surely it's time. Amen. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Wow.
My. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. So thankful we can come tonight, Lord, and gather with this little group of believers and know that we have something in common. That thing is Jesus Christ. And Father, it's so great that you are here among us, Lord. When we look around and see the millions of people who are just floundering around in darkness, completely blinded, they cannot see. And it makes us feel so bad for them because we look at them and they're just good people. So many of them, they just want to do right. And yet they've been so blinded, but our eyes have been opened by the grace of God. Lord, we're so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, what you have done. What you continue to do and your promise to take us all the rest of the way, Lord, whatever we have need. We ask tonight that you would come, take us a step farther on our road. Give us your word, something to encourage us, something to believe, something that will rock, be a rock solid for us, something that we can stand on tonight, Lord, and go from here, Lord Jesus, closer to you than before. Let your love come and just manifest yourself among us. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to read, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 6, and then 11 and 12, I believe. We'll just read that, and then we'll be seated. 1 Corinthians 10. What we're going to do is take out what last Sunday spoke on, the secret of his presence. This will be part two of that. And it's about resting, because when you get into his presence, when you get into that inner veil behind that place, that secret place, that holy place, it's a place of rest. And we find so many times people struggle resting, even when they're in there, yet so many times people struggle to rest. And so many people think they're there, and they're not. And so you can't rest unless they're there. So let's read here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat all the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things that they also lusted. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You can have a seat. So what we have here, we recognize, we're talking about rest tonight, we recognize that coming out, you know, Israel had to come out of Egypt, and they went through the wilderness to in order to enter in. But the thing I want to point out real quick is it's way easier to come out than it is to go in. Millions came out, but only a few went in, right? Well, what's the problem? Why could not they enter into that rest? Because on their journey, when they're going through all this, what they're going through, they kept running into temptations and lusts and problems rising. And instead of continuing on with the message of the hour, they got drawn off this way. They got drawn off that way. Because on the way from coming out to going in, Satan's going to test you every way he can. He's going to try to get you to go some other direction. He's going to offer you all kinds of things that your own nature wants. And that's what's going on with these people, because they come out, but few actually entered in. It takes way more death to yourself to enter in than it just does to come out. Look at all the thousands of people who came out of denominations. Some of you came out of denominations to come to the message. Some of you were born in the message, and yet still you need the Holy Ghost just as much as all of us who are out there in the world doing all those horrible things, because we're all born in sin, shaping iniquity. We all need to be saved no matter what you are actually doing, because your soul comes into this world unsaved. So we need to be saved. We need the new birth. We need to enter into that rest. And every one of us has to enter into that. You got to come out of the world, of anything you're in order to enter into that. And it's very hard to enter in compared to coming out. Look what these people did. They're all baptized into Moses. They passed through the sea. They ate the same spiritual meat. They were message believers. They all partook of Christ, that rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. All these people partook of all these things, and they thought, you know what? I'm on my way. We're going to the promised land. Now, the problem today is it's so deceptive that people are thinking they have entered into the promised land because they do all these things. Oh, I believe the message of the hour. That's good. I partake into Christ. That's good. I eat the same manna. I listen to the same tapes. I listen to the prophet. I go to the same church. All those things are good, but none of those are any indication that you've entered into the promised land, because none of those are an evidence that you're born again. You got to have something more. And then he says over here, he says, they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. It was for our example. These are the ends of the world. We all believe that, right? This is the end of time, what for the Gentiles anyway. And here we are at the very end of the world. We are supposed to look back, and this is our example, that you can come out, but you can be drawn aside with this way, drawn aside that way, and it doesn't do you a whole lot of good, because all you're going to do is die in the wilderness. And how many message believers now, they've come out and they follow the message, and they believe the prophet, but because they did not enter into the promised land, all they still have is the prophet. All they want is the prophet, and they just want to follow the prophet, and they're willing to follow the prophet. We got the prophet. We got the prophet. We got the prophet, and they refuse to be born again, because once you're born again, you recognize that the prophet came to get you to Christ, not to the prophet. Oh, my. So then why couldn't they enter into... we know that it was sin, right? But sin, the only real sin is unbelief. All these other things were examples of unbelief, or the results of unbelief. So what I want to do is turn to Hebrews 3, and we're going to just look at this a little bit more in depth here, if that's all right. Hebrews 3 and verse 14, we're going to read all the way down through some of verse chapter 4. Hebrews 3 and 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Remember, they also, Israel, were partakers of Christ. It said they that rock that followed them, they partook of Christ. In another place, Paul says, if you have tasted that Christ and tasted that he is good and you fall away, then you've doomed yourself, right? So these people do partake of Christ, not as a born-again experience, but as a recognition that he is real, he's alive, he's part of what's going on. I don't have time to get into that a little more deeper, but anyways, we'll keep going. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So you say, well, these people, they sinned, and so they died in the wilderness. And, all of them for 40 years, they walked around until they all had died off. And why was that? Because they sinned, which was what? He said, and to whom swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the unbelief was the main thing. It was the reason that kept them out. They got all the way to the promised land. They once sent the spies over. They come back and said, it's a wonderful land. And said, but we can't take it. And so how many people follow those lying preachers just because they had anointing, just to get underneath their skin and give them what they wanted? Listen, just follow the prophet. You don't have to go take that promised land. As long as you're the prophet, you're going to be fine. Oh, no, you're not. You better believe the real report. You better believe the report that the two true spies come back and said, yeah, it's hard to get there, but it's worth it, and we are more than able to take it. Yeah, it's going to be a battle, and yes, it's worth it. Yeah, it's going to be a battle to die to yourself. You're going to fight every day of your life, and you think, well, once I get over there, the battle's over. No, once you get over there, the battle just begins. That's why people don't want to do it. You may got to fight every day. I can't just give in to my own flesh. No, you can't give in to your own flesh. You have to die to that thing every day. And I tell you what, it's worth it if you do. Oh, it's worth it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest they promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So we have a rest that we're supposed to enter into. It's a promised land. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. The gospel for that day, the message for that day was say, come out of Egypt and go into the promised land. The gospel for today is come out of denominations, come out of the world, and go be born again and take your promised land, take your inheritance, be married to Christ, get to rapture and get out of this place. It's all for us here at the very end. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. It didn't profit them. It didn't do them any good. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They just heard a message. There was no faith that came with it. They had to keep seeing signs. Moses had to do another sign. Oh, we'll follow that sign. Moses had to do another sign. We'll follow that sign. But there was no faith in the word itself. And so when it came down to the showdown at Kadesh Barnea, they did not have any faith to anchor. It says, yeah, God brought us this far through Moses. He's going to take us the rest of the way. They did not have that because all they were sign followers. We have a message full of churches full of sign followers. You had to have the right kind of anointing. You had to have the right kind of preacher. You had to have the right kind of inspiration. You had to shout and dance and jump and sing and all these things. All those things are necessary and all those things are good, and not a single one of those put you in a rapture. That doesn't do it, and yet we teach, and you can see so many young people that go to these meetings, and that's what it's all about. Get the kids to the altar. Get them jumping and shouting. Hey, that's wonderful if they are meeting Christ, but so many of them are just coming to dance. That's a lying spirit. That doesn't get you where you want. That don't put you behind the inner veil. He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest. How do you get in there? By believing. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter to my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works that God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall into the same example of unbelief. So what we have here, friends, is they could not enter in because they could not enter the rest because of the unbelief. They did not believe God would do it, and so they tried on their own, and they did not cease from their own works. That's what humans being, our problem has always been ever since Adam fell, is we always are trying to help God save us. We're trying with our own works. We're trying to do something for God. We're trying to get closer to God, and we try that with our own works, our own religion, our own ideas, something that I can do just to make it a little better. And here's the reason why people continue to do that, because they have found satisfaction in their relationship with God. If I had enough satisfaction, the love of God was enough for me, I would not keep trying to add to it and try to make myself more holy and make myself more spiritual and make myself know a little bit more, because I'd be satisfied just being in his presence. And the secret of his presence is fullness of joy. It's not this secret of his presence plus what I can do. It's nothing else to do. I am going to cease from my works, and I'm going to stand there in his presence. I'm going to be totally satisfied with the love of God surrounding me. Until you get to that point, you will always, human nature will always try something. How did Adam do? Adam wrapped himself in fig leaves because when God came, he says, I got to stand in the presence of God. And so Eve put these fig leaves on, wrap ourselves, cover ourselves up so we can go stand in his presence. That doesn't work. The only way to stand in his presence is by faith. You take him at his word. You say, I'm stepping into your presence because you asked me to come. You invited me in here, and there's nothing can keep me out except for my own unbelief. Stephen spoke about this. I'm going to just really quickly. You all know this. Acts 7:47. Solomon built him a house. How be the Most High dwelt not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet? Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these? He was looking for something. He was looking for a place of rest. And we want to offer, Solomon wanted to offer him a temple. And that was a good thing to do. And there's always a place we come. And this is the place we come, like we said on Sunday. We come here to gather together. But this church is not the place of his rest. You have to go to church, friends, if you're a believer, because this is where God has ordained to come and meet us and keep leading us along by the gifts he gives us. But brother and sister, you can sit in this church every day of your life and die and go straight to hell, because this is not the place of his rest. He said, what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? He said, well, look at this nice church we gave you. I made it. All this stuff, I made it. I created it. You're just giving back what I already gave you. Then he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye, refusing to rest. He says, what's this place of my rest? My hands made all this. And then he said, but you stiff-necked and I'm sorry. Uncircumcised and hard on ears, you always resist. How are they resisting the Holy Ghost? Instead of believing by faith, instead of entering in by faith, you got to offer him a law. You got to offer him some kind of rules to keep. You got to show him, look how holy I'm living. Look how I'm doing. Am I not doing a good job? He says, this is not a rest. I've rested. I want you to rest. It's both of us resting in here together, not with what you want to bring along with me. Stop your own works. Cease from your own efforts. Cease from trying to figure it out. Cease from trying to think you can figure it out. If I just study a little more, if I just understand more, just stop. Rest. If you haven't found that place of rest, find it. We got a little time. Time keeps going on. Soon they're going to time when there's no more coming in. But friends, if there's still a place where you're not resting, get into that place. And you only can, well, if I pray enough, I'm going to go home and pray myself through. No, you're not. Well, I'm going to go home and start reading my Bible more. That's good, but that ain't what I'm talking about. You're already going back to your own works. Well, if I get sincere enough, just stop. Cease from your own works. Why is it so hard for man to cease from our own works, our own efforts? Because it takes trust. You have to believe God's going to do it. You have to stand and say, God, either you save me or I'm going to hell. But you promised to save me. You promised? That's as simple. You can't. That's as simple as it gets. You can't make it simpler than that. And that's all he wants. He won't accept anything more complicated. He won't. You can have an attitude. You can do whatever you want. Well, I don't like this one. I don't like that. Do whatever you want. But as long as you're offering your own idea to it, as long as you're adding your own thought to it, you're not ceasing from your own works, and you're mitigating your entry into that place, and it's you're living from your mind instead of your soul. We'll get to that. It's like Eve. We see what's going on. We have to help God along. Eve, she couldn't wait. She had the word, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. She wanted to do it, but she couldn't wait for God's time, and so she got talked into it. How many times people have come along trying to produce a bride, trying to produce a rapture? They try to produce it. Well, you got to see it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to worship this way. You got to have this kind of church. You got to do all these kind of things. You got to follow these rules. You got to believe this doctrine. And all it is people trying to produce a rapture. Just stop. Just take God at his word and walk in your daily walk, in your relationship with Christ, and let him just lead you and guide you. On the way to church, and I always pray and say, God, I see you changing things, but it's taken so long. I want him to change. You, God, why don't you just take care of that just like that? Take care of just like that. And he just rolls his eyes at me and says, Phil, after all this time, you're still impatient. It's ridiculous. But God, you could take care of this problem just right now. He said, I know that. What are you so impatient for? But the rapture is going to be here. Are you doubting who you are? Are you doubting who I told you are? Didn't I not tell you you're a bride? You know, and I say all bride goes in the rapture, then what are you impatient about, Phil? See, Satan knows our weaknesses, our own nature, because it is his nature. And so he can look at you and he can see your personality. He can see your experiences, see what triggers you. And because he understands your own nature, because our own nature is his nature. We all understand that, right? And he knows how to get us ticked off. He knows how to push our buttons. He knows how to get us out of our place of rest. And anytime you step up out of that place of rest, now you're in a bad place. Start working on your own ideas, your own emotions. The prophet said this: the Christian faith is based solidly upon rest. A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. Can I read that last sentence? Last two. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer at Calvary. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments, but the Christian's at rest knowing this, that God's able to keep that which he has performed, knowing that no matter what the thing is, how it looks, neither sickness, sorrow, death, starvation, or anything else can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. We're at rest. Just let the old ship toss any way she wants to. The anchor holds. That's a Christian walk. But now listen to what he said. He said, a Christian is not tossed about. Remember that? And then later he says, just let the old ship toss any way she wants. The anchor holds. And it says, well, the Christian not tossed. And then he says, it's tossed about. How can it be both? It depends on where you're coming from. Because in your heart, you're at rest. There's no tossing about. You're not wondering if this is right or not. You're not wondering if you're born again. You're not wondering if the message is true. You're anchored. Something is anchored there. In your mind, yeah, it's tossed all over the place. Your emotions drag you this way and that way. But what you do is you ignore this up here and you bring it to subject to what's down here. And when it does that, you find a place of rest even in your mind. Hallelujah. This old nasty mind, you can bring it into subjection to the word, and you can tell that worried devil to go to hell. He has to go. Yeah, we're going to have problems. But when you're anchored down here, then it brings all those problems into subjection. Oh, it don't happen all the time at once, and sometime you might have to fight that thing for a while. Amen, sister. Praise be to God, we got an anchor. Some waves we can go over, some we go under, regardless if the anchor holds. It isn't the ship doing the building, during the holding, it's the anchor doing the holding. Oh my, praise the Lord. It's not what you can figure up in your mind and try to, well, I'm just going to take this approach, I'm going to take that approach. Oh, just stop it. Just let the anchor hold. Go down inside and say, God, either you hold me or I'm going to crash on the rocks. He said, I got you. I got you. Just relax. Just cease. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to take the right approach. Stop trying to get the right quote, trying to get the right doctrine, trying to get the right scripture to go fight this. Just let me have control. The anchor holds. Oh my, he said, it isn't the ship holding, it's the anchor doing the holding. It isn't what I am or what I will be or what I was. It's what he is now and what he did for you, me and you. It ain't what I can do, it's what he has done. My faith doesn't anchor in what the coming meetings will be. My faith doesn't rest in my ability that I would have or upon what church I should join or what people I should associate with. My faith anchors rest entirely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus already been received. The Christian rest is that hope upon the stormy sea. Sure, storms rise, all kinds of troubles, but we're anchored. That's all. It's never sink. It can't sink. Then what were we worried about again? Why did we get stressed about? Why was all this stuff going? But brother, this person said this, and that person to my job and my health, and I'm sick, and all these kind of things. Friends, that's all the battles that Satan comes against you in your mind, through those gates in your mind. He keeps hammering you and hammering you and hammering you, and all God wants you to do is just keep deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and then when he wants to, when you get that right, he'll just come express himself and blow that out of there, and it's Jesus Christ in flesh manifesting himself. But when we get up there in the minds and try to fix it in our own mind, then he just sits down there quietly and says, when you're done, let me have the wheel. Because see, as long as you put your hand on the wheel, he takes his off. Two people ain't driving this at the same time. Either you're going to drive or he's going to drive. It ain't both of you. What is that anchor that holds? What is that anchor that you can trust in? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's all you need. That's the only anchor you need. When you know that anchor that's been anchored in your soul and you know nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from that love, then you start trusting him. And when you get to know his heart and you know that his heart is love, and you know that he does not allow anything to happen to you except what he allows to happen to you. Oh, I don't know if I said this before, but Will said this. He said, Satan has to get permission to bully you. It's like he goes to your daddy and says, can I bully your son? He says, go ahead. That's the way it works, friends. Nothing is coming against you that God doesn't have control of. He said, you know what? I need Phil to have a little bit of trouble right here. I need him to stress about this a little bit. Go ahead and hit him with that because he needs to die to that old idea. And they come at you and they come and they feel like, oh, they're going to tear me apart. And just at the last minute, what? All of a sudden they pull back. What's going on? That's as far as I'm going to let him go. He's in control. Can we not trust him? It's a trust thing. Can we take the promised land? If you trust him, yes. Can you have your full inheritance? Only if you trust him. Why are so many message believers not resting? Because all they have is a doctrine. All they have is a message. All they have is a shout. All they have is a sensation. All they have is a baptism. They don't have the reality of Jesus Christ and knowing his heart and knowing who he is. And they do not know Jesus Christ, the person. They just know him as someone that someone tell them about. You need to know him personally. And then when you know him personally, you know that you can trust that heart. Oh, you can trust him that he's only going to take care of you. He's only going to do what's good for you. Oh, my goodness, look how you treat your grandkids. Look how you treat your kids. And you have more trust in your own ability, your own love for them, your human love for them, than you have in God's love for you. Think about it, friends. You have more trust in your own human love than you have in God's agape love because you know, I would never do anything to hurt my kids. You say, well, God hurts me. He allows things to happen. Your kids also have things happen to them, don't they? And sometimes you had to bring some punishment. And sometimes you had to give them things they don't like, but you do it anyways because you love them. And yet we can't trust God's love enough to quit worrying about what's going to happen. Faith cannot rest upon nothing. A Christian has faith, has to have a solid resting place. You know what that? The only resting place that a Christian, a true born-again Christian, can rest his faith upon the unmovable word of God. It ain't built upon shifting sands of man's theology and doctrine upon some church affiliation, but a true believer, his faith rests solidly and shifting as he approaches the word of God. Not upon feelings, mental emotions, theory, some unknown something that somebody has said to you, had no basis upon someone say, well, you come and join our church, it'll be finished. But upon the word of God, the human soul rests solid. God said so, that settles it, it makes it real. Take God at his word, for by faith are you saved, that through grace, not by works, no mental emotion, not stirred up, no speaking with the tongue, no shouting, no nothing. You cannot base your faith on any things like that, brother and sister. Oh, but it feels so good and it's wonderful when the presence of the Lord comes. We just worship in there. It's wonderful and it's necessary. And we have to have those things. And not a single thing like that is any evidence. That's nothing to base your faith on. You can't base your faith because you preached or you sang or you shouted or you ran or you felt the presence. None of that can base your faith on any of those things, friends. Those things fall on everybody. By faith, walk into the presence of God and say, Lord God, I come solely on the basis of your word and I believe you. You say, Brother Branham, don't you believe in shouting, speaking in tongues? Yes, sir. But you're putting the cart before the horse. Come to Christ first. Come to Christ first. All right, I'm going to make it a little personal. So do you live in your own catastrophe in your mind? Where do you spend your time during the day, especially when you're by yourself or maybe talking to people? Does a catastrophe you live in? Do you live in that catastrophe? Is this what you lead with? Oh, I'm having problems again. Brother Phil, I just tell you this is going on, and this is going on, and that's going on, and this is what everyone knows about, all your catastrophes. Everyone knows about everything you're going through. And you live in that place. After you pray, are you still living in catastrophe? Are you smiling or are you frowning? Do you create an atmosphere around you of faith or doubt? I'll just give a little testimony.
In the mornings, a lot of times, that's when Satan really likes to hit me coming out right out of bed. He starts with, well, this is going to happen today, or that might happen today, and just trying to get me worried and trying to get me down on all that. It's just ridiculous. He's such a coward. Just trying to get me thinking, trying to get some thoughts, some negative thoughts. And friends, if I will allow it and start thinking that way, yep, but the first little while, that's where I'm going to be at. It's just stupid. After all these years and still recognizing Satan at his tricks and still giving in to it. It's stupid. It's spiritually stupid for me to do that. Because all it takes is just a simple prayer, a simple confession. Ha, I'm going to have a good day today. God's with me. I'm saved. What are you going to do, devil? That's all it takes. Just your confession, and God will come to that confession and say, okay, let's go have a good day. You don't have to take that negative, depressive thought and start living in it and ruminating in it and just kind of wallowing in it. And the next thing you know, it's 8:30 and you're still like, oh, this has just been one of those days. At 8:30 in the morning? Well, yeah, because for the last 2 hours, you've allowed that demon to sit there and just do twirlies in your mind. All you have to do is just confess something different. Paul. He said he approached God 3 times for that thorn in the flesh. Take this from me. And what did he say? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Just relax. I got this. Let me read whatever is this, what he says here. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Boy, that's hard for human beings. To get ourselves be weak so that he can be strong. That's why I think Sunday I said, your strengths, your human strengths are your biggest problem. Because we go to our strengths when there's problems. We go to our strength. What's your strength? Well, whatever it is, we go to those. And instead of that, we should go to our weakness. Let that become a weakness instead of propping ourselves up with our own strength. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of God may rest upon me. Oh, when I'm weak, then the power of God can rest upon me instead of my own ability. Quit going to our own ability. Peter talked about this. He said, just real quick. He said, beloved, think it not strange considering the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. These strange fiery trials, these battles we go through, this is when we should be rejoicing, not whining and crying and being catastrophic about it. This is when we raise our hands, rejoice, and say, praise God, Satan's come against me this morning. Well, praise God. You know why he's coming against me? Because he don't like me. You know why he don't like me? Because I'm saved and he's not. And you know what else he can't do? He can't destroy me because something inside is undestroyable. It's called eternal life. And all he can do is whine and cry and shout and scream and dance about. But all I have to do is confess what the word says about me. And that is, I am an overcomer. I'm going in the rapture. There's nothing Satan can do to stop it. And he can do all he was, but my God, my Father is bigger than he is. Oh, friends, we don't have anything to worry about. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let him do the caring. Let him do the stressing. Let him do the worrying. Be like a little child. Say, Papa, I need something. He said, I'll give it to you. Then sit there and wait till he gives it to you. Be content. Paul said, I have learned whatever state I am therewith to be content. Can you do that simple thing? Whatever state you're in, be content. Brother Phil, I am in a lot of physical pain right now. Am I supposed to be content with pain? No, you don't be content with the pain. Be content that he's a healer. Be content that he can set you free. He is the one. He took those stripes so that he can set you free. Be content in that. Well, I got this problem in my family. Am I supposed to just let him go to the world? No, you don't let him go to the world. You take God at his promise and say, I claim my children. I apply the token, and I'm content to rest in that he promised me. That's where your contentment is, in his promise. I'm not saying, well, I'm just really having a hard time. I'm just going to be content having a hard time. No, how about glorying in your infirmities, though, and know that his grace is sufficient to bring you out of it? Hasn't he brought you this far? You think he brought you this far just to wipe his hands? Well, you're just going to die there in that desert. No, he brought you this far to take you all the rest of the way. Oh, to be content in his promises. It's an attitude of rest from the heart. Let me try to finish up here. What does rest look like? What are the characteristics of it? Psalms 131:1. It's one of my favorite psalms. He said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. You start with humility. Oh, I'm a preacher, brother. Just stop. Well, I can really say, well, I go to this church. Just stop. My heart's not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You got to find what God wants you to do and be content in that place. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child, resting, trusting. I try to impress people with my religiousness. Not try to impress people with what I know. Not try to impress people with how well I live or my gifts or anything like that. Just be like a weaned child. Quiet yourself. Not behave like an immature child. You know what an immature child needs? Instant gratification. You know there's a lot of 60-year-old immature children in this world today. They need instant gratification. You know, I've been traveling a little bit, been in some airports and different places and conference in Indiana, and I think it's the saddest. It's way sadder. And you see a 21-year-old with tats and funny colored hair and dressing weird, and that's sad. But when you see a 70-year-old person doing the same thing, that just really, that's so sad. What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? If Brother Jim comes to church Sunday with pink hair, oh, I'm going to cut it off. But that's what you see. You see these old people, and they're trying to do all this funny colored hair and stuff. I said, I just feel so bad. Look, friends, you're going to feel the emotions. You're going to feel sadness. You're going to feel all these things. You don't have to act on them. That's the whole thing. Take the word over your emotion. But I'm so tore up, I tell you what. Okay. Acknowledge it. I'm tore up. Now, what are you going to do about it? Run your mouth? That's typical. That's what a child will do. But can you trust God with it? Say, God, you got this. I'm trusting you. They know God, and they're so trust his heart. See, if you know him, you can trust his heart. If you know him. Pastors love that kind of Christian. They're not causing problems in the church. Let me read out of Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. See, they're growing up. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for with stammering lips and another tongue we speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. What's he talking about? Being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is leading you. The Spirit is speaking with stammering tongues and another stammering lips, and another tongue will he speak to his people, being led by the Spirit. That's what it is to rest, is let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't be led by your mom and dad or your kid or your husband or your wife. I mean, they all play their part, but you be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit takes the word and quickens it to you. Say, this is the way, walk in it. That's what the preaching is about. Don't be led by me. Don't be led by Brother Jerry. Be led by the Holy Spirit taking the word that's being preached and lead you individually. That's what you need.
Don't be led by a man. Be led by the Holy Spirit through the man. Now have confidence in the gift that God gives, that God's speaking through the man. To him he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. He said, yet they would not cease from their own works. They would not give up their religion. They would not have this man rule over us. We're not going to have this for our Messiah. We have Moses. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that may go and fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. Jude spoke about these people. He said, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with wind, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They refuse to cease from their own works. They refuse to enter the rest. They have some other evidence. They have some kind of proof that they're born again. They have some kind of proof that they can go by, some evidence, some doctrine they believe, or some sensation they've had. You can rest. Why can you rest and the world out there can't rest? Why can you rest and so many message believers can't rest? They're hopping here and there. They're tore up about this. They're going here and there. They're falling away from the message. How come you can rest? The only way you can, friends, is because something happened down in your soul. There was a birth down there. You found a satisfaction. You found something that satisfies your soul. That it's the love of God. That's the only thing that can satisfy your soul, friends, if you're born again. If you're a seed of God, let's stand tonight. In Psalms 4:4, David says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That word awe means agitated, quaking, stressed. So what David's saying is, stand there agitated and stressed. Be quaking with fear. And sin not. How do you do that? Commune with your own heart and on your bed and be still. Take into account what's going on. I'm agitated. I'm stressed. I'm fearful about this. But I'm communing with my heart. I know my heart is right with God. I know my God has told me he's going to take care of it. And I'm going to lay here and be still. I'm not going to act. I'm not going to jump on the phone and call this person and tear that person up and call that person and tell them what they need to be doing. I'm going to lay still. I'm going to let God take care of it. That's what it means to stand in awe and sin not. Just because you're tore up in your mind doesn't mean you have to react to it. Just be still. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that he's God. Just be still. Just stay quiet. Just keep your mouth shut. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's that simple, friends. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to tell you from personal experience, and you can testify this, when you do that, when you take his yoke upon you and you just learn from him, his burden is light. You still have a burden to carry, but it's not like when you're doing it on your own. When you're stressed, you're trying to figure it out on your own, trying to, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to handle this? You're supposed to rest. Take his burden. His burden is, do you believe me? Do you think I'll take care of it? I sure do. That's your burden. Fight that battle. That's the battle you fight. I believe that you said you're going to take care of this problem, and I'm going to let you have it. But it's taken forever. Okay, Eve, go bring forth a bastard child. Some religion, something you want to do, and see how that works for you. You'll be back. You'll be repenting. He'll forgive you. He said, now wait for me. Just take me at my word. I got this. This rapture is going to happen, friends. We are in the rapturing process. This going away is going to happen. We're going to see it happen, friends. Oh, my, what a time. What a time. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful, Father, that you would come and just encourage us, Lord.
to just tell us, Lord, just to rest, just to take our hands off the steering wheel, just to sit back and just be at rest, to be still. When our mind is going crazy, when we're stressing about things, just to sit still and relax. When our fear is quaking, when if we feel that inside, that gut is churning, our mind just can't relax, can't slow down, yet we can go down inside of that secret place, find that anchor that still holds, and we can just hold on to that line. Just let that bring us peace. Bring us peace, Lord. Let the stress just fade away. Let the fear just dissipate. Let the Holy Spirit just come and express yourself out through these channels, out to those people around us, out into our, to bring us a peace of mind, Lord, that we can't even understand. This is your promise to us, Lord Jesus. Let this be so, Father, in each one of our lives. I pray that you would bless us as we go home. Keep us safe on the road. There's spirits out there. There's craziness out there that would try to destroy us, Lord. But, Father, you're greater than that. Bring us back Sunday, Lord, or the pastor back to preach, Lord, that we'll hear what he has to say, what you give him to say, Lord. We just thank you again so much that we can claim to be Christians and know it from our heart, Lord. I just pray you bless us now in your name.